Hey, Ryan, since you're not going to the game, where are you planning on watching the Wildcats?
I'll be stuck at the office, but I wish I could be lounging at home in front of my TV.
Yeah, me too. I've been thinking about getting like a big comfy recliner from Sam Levitt's Furniture.
Ooh, stylish.
Sam Levitt's Furniture has specials on a wide selection of recliners, so you can watch the game in style. You can check out a bunch of options at their Tucson locations. I'm thinking of getting one with swivel action.
Ooh.
But I kind of like the one I saw with cup holders.
Well, while Justin makes up his mind about which recliner he likes best, let's talk some sports.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
What's going on? Welcome to another episode of the Wildcast podcast. Justin Spears here with Dominic Bachaco. Pac-12 tournament officially out of the discussion. It is March Madness, Dom.
It's time. It's here.
It is officially time. We've
been talking about this for weeks, saying, you know, it's March, it's the best time of the year. Now it's the best time of the year.
Oh, heck yeah. So, anyways, we got a jam-packed podcast here for you guys. I mean, we got Vegas recap. We have the NCAA selection committee and where they placed Arizona. The Wildcats are the 4 seed out in the South. They will take on the number 13 seed Buffalo in Boise, Idaho. So for all you Wildcat fans that booked your flight and hotel to San Diego, I am terribly sorry for you right now.
Taco Bell Arena, man.
We'll talk about that here in a little bit.
Gotta get your nacho fries.
Absolutely. Also, our boss, Ryan Finley, I was like, man, I was looking forward to having a legit California burrito with french fries inside of it. Nope, I'll go to Taco Bell instead.
Taco Bell's good, yeah, they got the California burrito.
Lorenzo Romar, he's got a new coaching gig. Former Washington head coach and Sean Miller's lead assistant, he's got a new head coaching job in line, according to John Rothstein from CBS Sports. So we'll figure out what school that is and kind of preview that and talk about, is this real and kind of what it means. By the way, good for him. Seriously.
Couldn't happen to a better guy.
And at the end of this beautiful podcast episode, we will break down Arizona's bracket and kind of see where they stand against other teams. But Dom, I think first we have to talk about Las Vegas. Arizona wins the Pac-12 outright championship. They handled USC. I mean, it was a dogfight up until the 9.5 minute mark, and then all of a sudden, Raleigh Alkins
destroyed. I mean, how's Elijah Stewart doing? Has anyone heard from him?
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure he like withdrew because
that guy can't be on the face of Earth anymore. I mean, probably working with Elon Musk now, trying to get as far away from here as possible because he wants no part of that poster.
Mm-hmm. Man, it just kind of came out of nowhere. I remember almost like kind of startled myself and Bruce Pascoe, who said Elsa next to him, and I was just like, whoa, because you know Ayton had the ball in the post. And then Raleigh just comes over and just cuts the basket.
Getting double teamed. I had nowhere to go. He was under the basket. Couldn't get. I mean, you're getting double teamed. I mean, almost behind the basket. You can't get. Even DeAndre Ayton can't get out of that. So he had nowhere to go. And then here comes Raleigh Alkins.
Speaking of DeAndre Ayton, he won Pac-12.
Speaking of DeAndre Ayton,
where can we start with this? Let's see. The man is the Pac-12 Player of the Year, Pac-12 Freshman of the Year. Made the All Pac-12 first team, All Pac-12 defensive team, All Conference freshman team, All Tournament team, and won the tournament most outstanding player. The dude is racking up the hardware as we speak. But Bruce and I talked about this on the most recent podcast. Is one thing that I really took away from this past week was DeAndre Ayton's personality, because we've only gotten him a few times for media availability,
right,
and it was in a press conference setting, so questions are a little bit more serious. It's not as personal.
Right.
And the second we get him in an open locker room availability,
that's great.
I'm like, man, I really can't wait to see this guy when he's in the NBA, and he's in
you
this
get that
setting
every night.
Dom, I mean, What did you take away from Ayton's kind of personality?
It's just that's, I mean, for me, that's what I love most about, I don't want to say what I love most about March, because there's so many great things about March, but that's one of the best things about the Pac-12 tournament for us, it is kind of getting to see that side of these players, you know. Yeah. I mean, we don't get that at all throughout the year. I mean, we don't know anything about DeAndre Ayton or his personality, mm-hmm. You know, outside of the very few brief times we've talked to him, and you know, we kind of get him in a I don't want to say personal setting, but a setting where it's kind of unfiltered, where he's just going to speak his mind. And, yeah. You know, he just won a Pac-12 championship, you know, one most outstanding player. And, you know, he's going to speak freely, so to speak. And it's cool to see.
And he knows that, you know, he's gone after this year. Oh, so at this point, it's almost just completely off the hook. Mm-hmm. You know, before you saw that, you know, a lot of Arizona players were coached in terms of speaking to the media. And even I noticed Raleigh mm-hmm. has really starting to be more open and show a little bit more personality than he has in the past. My favorite clip from DeAndre Ayton this week was when he was talking about Raleigh Alkins' insane dunk. And let's go ahead and hear what Ayton had to say about that.
Gold.
I said, we need to go to jail for this. There's no way somebody should get away with that. Because you know, I was like, if you see my reaction on the replay, like when he dunked, I started running, sprinting, and I turned around, dude was on the floor. I was like, oh my God. Yeah, so that was unbelievable. I had never seen a dunk like that. That was some 2K animation type stuff, slasher dunks.
Without the fatigue, of course, right?
Facts.
You know, facts.
Raleigh wasn't sure if that dunk was better or the one against Oregon State.
No. This one, because we don't know Raleigh. Like, usually we thought he was going to be a little, you know, dunk. He did this.
He did the top punch.
Mm-hmm. I see, like, you know, like, being right there, and, you know, it's like, wow. I just, you know, just, that momentum just took me down the court. I looked back, and it was like, yo, that was amazing.
Yeah, so I mean, that's one of many clips that we have of DeAndre Ayton. Another one he was talking about was, you know, when Bruce Pascoe asked him, you know, when you're playing against Oregon, what was it like having fans, you know, waving Hunter Graham bars and checks in front of your face? And he said, you know, I'm going to put on a show. Mm-hmm. All eyes are on me.
I'm an entertainer.
Yeah. I like to entertain. That right there, I'm like, man, he looks so stoic and manly. And just completely out of this world, but inside that head of his and that heart, mm-hmm. he's still like a kid, mm-hmm. and that's one thing I loved about this week. But so go ahead and let's go ahead and move on from Vegas, Dom. Now that we're officially in the NCAA tournament mode right now, Arizona, there's like we said, they're sitting at number 4, taking on number 13 Buffalo. And did the NCAA committee really screw Arizona?
This is how I look at it, and I've been trying to rationalize this all day. I don't have a problem with Arizona as the 4 seed. I never saw them as a 3 seed. Even if they won the Pac-12 tournament, I figured the best they would do is the 4 in the West. And the only reason I say the West is because I figured they would get San Diego.
Yeah,
they'd get the placement in San Diego and then go through Los Angeles, or at the very least get placed in a bracket like the South and have the San Diego in the first couple rounds. But one of my biggest complaints about this bracket, really my only big complaint, is that the committee threw this two San Diego pods, we'll call them, to the East bracket and the Midwest bracket. So essentially, and I'm sorry if I don't break this down crystal clear, but I'll try my best. You essentially had... They weren't giving San Diego to Gonzaga because Boise is more convenient for them.
Sure.
Even if they're out west, Boise is, I mean, to reward Gonzaga as the 4 seed in the West region, they stick him in Boise. Better geographically, better for the fans up there. That's fine. I have no problem with that. But then you got the three other 4 seeds are Arizona, Wichita State in the East, and then you have, oh God, why am I drawing a blank here? Auburn in the Midwest. So you have two East Coast teams in Arizona. Two of those teams are getting the San Diego pod. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you got to figure, okay, so one of those East Coast teams is getting screwed, you figure.
Yep.
But they can do the right thing and give one of the San Diego pods to Arizona, reward them for getting the four and winning the Pac-12 conference. If you're not going to stick them in the West with the path through Los Angeles, at least give them the first and second round in San Diego. No, they don't do it. Which, fine, if they want to punish Arizona for whatever reason it may be, have at it. You know, whether they don't respect them, they don't, you know, value the resume, whatever the reason may be, fine. But you look at what they're doing. They give the four to the East region, which is Wichita State and Marshall, West Virginia, and Murray State. Those are four essentially East Coast teams. Mm-hmm. You give the San Diego pod to the Midwest bracket, which is Auburn, College of Charleston, and New Mexico State, and Clemson. So it's essentially three East Coast teams, then New Mexico State. You're essentially... Not only are you punishing Arizona for whatever reason now, you're also punishing number four seed Auburn, who is a four seed in the Midwest and has to go all the way to San Diego to play the first two games. So there goes their advantage. I mean, no, here's a four seed, but that's literally all you get. No more advantage outside of that. And then you look at Wichita State as a four seed, who made the semifinal in their conference tournament, had a very good year, and they get a four seed in the East. And they have to go to San Diego. Mm-hmm. So not only are you taking it away from Arizona now for whatever reason, you're also taking away from Wichita State and from Auburn, two teams who have very good resumes and had very good seasons. You're also taking away from a five seed in West Virginia who has to travel all the way to San Diego, a five seed in Clemson that has to travel all the way to San Diego, mm-hmm. and five seed in Kentucky. I mean, for whatever reason, they ran through the SEC, took care of Bama easily, and Colin Sexton, who was one of the hottest players in the country, mm-hmm. Coming into that game against Kentucky in the SEC championship, and you're punishing them now too. So that's the one gripe I had about this bracket, is the placement of the San Diego regions, because, you know, punish Arizona. If you don't, they're the 16th overall seed, if you want to say. They're number 16. They're the fourth four seed, so to speak. And, you know, and even Virginia, you look at Virginia as the number one overall seed. They're supposed to have the easiest path to the Final Four in the entire bracket. They get to the Sweet 16. They get Arizona, Kentucky, a red hot Davidson, or a Buffalo team that's probably not going to happen. They have one of the toughest routes.
Yep.
So you're punishing them too now.
So that's how you're rewarding them for being the number one overall seed.
Right. I mean, if you're going to dock Arizona for whatever reason it may be, you're taking all these other teams and saying, hey, here's a four seed, but screw your location.
Yep.
But, hey, Virginia, here's the number one overall seed. But you get Kentucky and Arizona coming up. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. You know, we can sit here and argue teams that are in and out, you know, whether it be USC or, Oklahoma State, whoever it may be. We can argue that all day. But, you know, at the end of the day, win your conference tournament and you're in. The one problem I have with this is the regions. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
What do every single one of those teams that you just mentioned have in common?
I'm glad you brought that up. All of them listed
in the FBI probe.
Which, you know, I was talking to you about this earlier. This was on March 4th, which I believe, I guess it's only a week ago, but CBS during, you know, halftime, I think it was during the Big Ten tournament, sat down with Brad Rasmussen, who is the NCAA committee chair. You may have heard from him today on the Selection Sunday show. He said, Greg Gumbel of CBS asked him straight up, what is the FBI investigation going to do as far as playing into, you know, how you evaluate these teams? Is it going to have an effect? And Bruce Rasmussen said, quote, "We'll pay no attention to the investigation whatsoever when it comes to determining who's in or how we see them. That's somebody else's purview outside of the committees."
Okay. Okay. Well, let's go ahead and reference the big guy himself, mm-hmm. the Big Dickie V, baby! He was a guy that came out and said that Miller should have been fired from the get-go.
Yeah.
And he's talking about how the integrity of college basketball is completely ruined, and it's a dirty game.
Yeah.
Dick Vitale knew that all this was going on at some point. But he made a really good point on ESPN today, and we were just listening before this. Why is Oklahoma State not in the tournament? But Oklahoma is.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma, they don't have a single road win in the whole year of 2018.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State swept Oklahoma this year and had wins against Kansas and West Virginia at West Virginia.
Did they sweep Kansas?
Yeah, they did sweep Kansas.
Swept Kansas, went at West Virginia, who's a 5 seed, mm-hmm. ranked by BPI, I think, as a 3 seed. So West Virginia's mm-hmm. underseeded. They're a very good team, mm-hmm. and you know, could be a sleeper to make a run in this tournament. Mm-hmm. And they went into West Virginia, which is a tough place to play. And won. So they have, as good a resume as any. You look at a team like Arizona State, who got rewarded for beating a team, Kansas at Kansas and Xavier at Xavier, and then you're going to look at a team like Oklahoma State, who has those same exact impressive mm-hmm. wins, mm-hmm. Not Xavier, but at West Virginia, at Kansas, and you're going to keep them out of the tournament. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
But what's the difference between Oklahoma and Oklahoma State?
Exactly.
Oklahoma State was listed in the FBI investigation, so that's why I really have a hard time believing that the NCAA Selection Committee really kept their personal feelings out of making their decision of locating these teams and selecting the field of 68. I really have a hard time believing that. But, I mean,
if you follow me on Twitter, you've seen it multiple times today. This is my thing with March and March Madness. A year from now, you're going to have a brand new bracket. You're not going to remember any gripes you have about this year's bracket. Think about this. Go back and name me one team from any year. You know, obviously, if you're a diehard fan, if you're listening to this and you're a diehard fan of another school that got heartbroken because of your placement or something and you're still bitter about it, maybe you can do this. But name me, Justin, you can't do it. I can almost guarantee you. I can't do it. Name me one other team from any year, any bracket, any region, whatever you want. Name me a team who didn't win a national championship or didn't make a run in the NCAA tournament because of their draw in the bracket, whether it was an unfair seed or an unfair first round game or an unfair, you know, Arizona situation where they might have to play Kentucky in the second round, then have the number one overall seed in the Sweet 16. You can't do it.
It's not
something that lingers. It's March Madness. Every team in the field has to win 6 games. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not different. So for everyone out there who has all these gripes, put them aside. It's March. It happens every single year, every single bracket. We have these problems. We have these frustrations. This team should have been in over this team. This team, you know, should have been a 4 seed over a 5 seed in the West or the South. Look, you can't tell me your gripes from last year's bracket. Don't complain about this year's. Mm. A week from now, you're not even going to remember it. When there's buzzer beaters coming left and right at you on the TV screen, and you won't be complaining about it anymore.
And all you're going to hear in a few days is grabbing the bracket and throwing it away.
All that matters.
So
that's what makes March so great. That which all of these gripes aside, it's March Madness. There's nothing better than that.
It's a great time of the year, man. So before we fill out Arizona's side of the bracket, mm-hmm. I think we should go ahead and get on some more newsy stuff going around Arizona. Lead assistant coach and former Washington head coach Lorenzo Romar is reportedly expected to be named Pepperdine's next head coach. Mm-hmm. Dom, you were up at 4:30 in the morning to get this story out. You know everything about it, man. Just go ahead and break it down for us.
I'm pulling up the story right now. Essentially, John Rothstein reported this morning that Pepperdine is expected to hire Lorenzo Romar as its next head coach. Significant because Romar, obviously, most famously, Washington's head coach, 15 seasons, and did a lot of good things there.
Won
coach of the year 3 times, won a few conference tournaments, conference tournament titles, a few regular season titles, coached the likes of Isaiah Thomas, who threw a dagger in Arizona's heart, as I'm sure you all remember, Justin. I know you remember that.
2011, baby.
So, look, Lorenzo Romar has the resume. He goes back to Pepperdine, where he coached for 4 years, from 1996 to 1999, one of his first coaching stints, his first head coaching stint. So he has history at Pepperdine. If you're wondering, why is he going to the small school there in the WCC? That's why. And look, it didn't come as a surprise to me, because one quote that stuck with me throughout the entire season with Lorenzo Romar, whenever we're talking about Lorenzo Romar, and even when he stepped in as an interim head coach for Sean Miller a couple weeks ago, he said this. I'm trying to find the quote here. He said this at the beginning of his introductory press conference when he was hired at the UA in April of 2017. He said, give me a second.
How can I help? I'm just here to just kind of just help any way that I can. And he wasn't I really wouldn't say he was in it for the money, or I mean,
absolutely not.
Because even though he is getting paid handsomely for as an assistant coach, but he recognized the program that Sean Miller built, and he knew that he wasn't going to get a head coaching job right away, and he decided to go get the best assistant position that was open. And I remember when he was fired, and Joe Pasternak, former U of A assistant coach, left, and they're like, okay, well, there's a elite assistant job open. Are they gonna get Lorenzo Romar? They're like, no, there's no way. That's like a dream scenario.
It's a home run hire. It was a home run hire.
And sure enough, a week later it happens. That's crazy.
Yeah, so when he was hired, this was a quote, I'm not coming here thinking, okay, I'll put up with this for a few months so that I can... No, that's not my train of thought. I'm here locked in and we'll just see what happens. I'm not in a hurry to get away from the situation. He also hinted that, yeah, you know, maybe I'll want a head coach again, you know, in the future, but he wasn't in a hurry to run away from this situation at Arizona. He was more than happy to come work with Sean Miller in any capacity. You know, he wasn't brought here specifically for recruiting. The player, even though he could have made a big splash, obviously couldn't with Sean Miller this year because of some other outside, you know, FBI investigations going on that have affected recruiting. But, you know, he was brought in because he's one of the, you know, if you could hire Lorenzo Romar as an assistant coach, you're going to do it.
Absolutely.
You know, everyone loves him. He's one of the most well-respected figures, especially, I mean, from covering him all year, Justin, you know this. He's one of the most well-respected guys in all of college basketball. And he's going to go down to a school in the WCC who's at the bottom tier of its conference that has been won 6 years in a row by a team named Gonzaga. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's going to do pretty well for himself there because everyone likes him. And he's coaching in Malibu where it's not going to be hard to recruit. You and I were talking about that earlier. But, you know, it couldn't have happened to a better guy. You and I.
He's such a nice guy.
Exactly. I mean, even when he went back to Seattle this year, when Arizona went up to Washington and lost, it was cool to see kind of the Seattle community rally around him again. Another interesting tidbit, Alonzo Trier, who was on this team, was recruited by Lorenzo Romar at Washington when Romar was at Washington, and Trier, before Trier committed here, Seattle native, obviously. So, you know, Romar had the ties to the players here. Players liked him. They jumped on board right away. Dusan Ristich was quoted, you know, he was impressed with him right away. Heard nothing but good things about Romar. He's just that kind of dude.
Yeah, and Alonzo Trier even said that... Before, when they went to Washington, that he grew up going to Lorenzo Romar's coaching or basketball camps. Mm-hmm. You know, 11-year-old Alonzo Trier is out there winning every single award, and Lorenzo Romar is pretty much like Alonzo Trier's godfather.
Yeah,
and in for Alonzo Trier to be in his last year and have Romar there, I think that's really cool. Yeah, like you said, Dom, it couldn't have happened to a better guy. What? I mean, he deserves a better team. Like, he deserves to be in a Power 5 conference.
Well, and that's why I think people might have been taken back when they saw Pepperdine. They're like, oh, they just finished 2-16 in the WCC, you know, which is a very top-heavy conference of Gonzaga, and if you want, I guess you go St. Mary's and BYU. It was a one-bid league in the NCAA tournament for the series, Gonzaga, and only Gonzaga, and they've won it 6 straight years. So that's probably not changing anytime soon, but Romar will walk into a bad situation, but... no doubt in my mind he'll turn it around. The other important thing to note about Romar before we move on here, reported by Rothstein and FanRag that he is expected to remain with the Wildcats through the remainder of the season, so through March Madness. Now official announcement from the UA likely to come early this week, according to Rothstein. Miller has a press conference tomorrow. I'm sure he'll be asked about it. I know you'll be there. I know he'll be asked about it. So it'll be interesting to see what they have to say, but... So Romar, likely heading to Pepperdine next year.
Good for him. Let's go ahead and move on. By the way, we are going to preview the entire bracket Tuesday in a different pod. So
separate pod. We'll fill it all out for you.
Every single team, Dom and I will provide us who's going to the Final Four and who's going to cut down the nets in April. But we're going to end this pod by... looking over Arizona's side of the bracket and then just kind of go through it team by team. Let's go ahead and first start off. We're in the South region. Arizona's the 4 seed, taking on number 13, Buffalo. But before we get there, number 1, Virginia, and number 16, Maryland, Baltimore County.
Some McHale, can they upset the Cavaliers?
Golden Retrievers, No, not a chance. No. Virginia, I got them up. I got them winning by like 30.
Creighton, Kansas State. I like this Creighton team a lot. Looking at their resume, I think they're a little underseeded at an 8 seed. Not saying they got an unfair draw by any means, but BPI has them ranked number 22. So, by the way, BPI is the Basketball Power Index from ESPN. Kind of takes all their stats, strength of schedule, all that kind of stuff into account. Similar to RPI, but more focused on who they've played. 22 in BPI. I like them over Kansas State, who is the 9 seed. Kansas State hasn't beaten a lot of good teams this year. Not that Creighton has, but Creighton, look, they score in bunches. They're a hot shooting team. Kansas State's good defensively, but I like Creighton and their hot shooting
team. You got the Blue Jays. I like it.
Yes, sir.
I like it. All right, let's go ahead and move down to the 5-12 matchup. Ooh. Those
are hard ones.
Those 5-12
matchups. These are the hard ones. And by the way, we should preference this with, you know, this might change by the time between now and Tuesday. Just because we got to, obviously, I know everyone listening to this, you never have only one version of your bracket. You go through about 10 of them before actually settling on one that you like. So we might do that too. This is very preliminary, but we'll try to stick with our gut instinct here. Mm-hmm. Kentucky-Davidson, at least 112 is going to beat a 5. Who are you taking here, Justin?
I'm taking Kentucky.
It's a safe pick.
I just think that, you know, Calipari has some of the best talent in the country, regardless of then being a 5 seed. Kevin Knox is probably the best small forward in the country, or he's up there, I think so. He's going to be a top 7 pick of the draft. And Wenyen Gabriel, who really impressed me during the SEC tournament against Alabama, he was 7 for 7 from 3-pointers. If that's your big man, you're doing pretty good things.
Look out for Davidson. I'll give this to you now, but Davidson on Tuesday might be one of my 12 seeds to do it. They're 3-5 against top 25 teams. You know what Kentucky is this year? Coming from the SEC too, it's impressive that Davidson's played 8 ranked teams. By the way, Kentucky's 0-4. Wow. So obviously Davidson's not.
Steph Curry put you up to this. Your boy Steph put you up to this, Dom.
I tweeted about that earlier today. Steph actually tweeted a video of it too. It's pretty funny. Try to find it if you can. But we'll go with Kentucky for now. But I'm not sold yet. Davidson, the 12th seed, could be a sneaky, trendy pick to knock off Kentucky. Moving along to Arizona. Justin, what do you got going here?
Ooh. I got the Buffalo Bulls winning. I'm just playing. Come on now. Are you serious? Arizona wins big. There's no chance that Buffalo even gets a sniff of beating Arizona. They might keep it competitive for a little bit in the first half, but if Arizona has a rocky start,
it's gonna be.
DeAndre Ayton, man,
and that's too much. That's the thing with Arizona is the way they play games in the Pac-12 this year, where that, you know, they'll go up big, come back down, and kind of level out. It'll be tied for a while. They'll go back and forth, and then go on these huge two, three-minute scoring droughts that the other team get up a little bit, and then the whole that team just some scoring droughts. And it's just a back-and-forth thing. So in saying that, I do think it'll be interesting to see how Arizona handles some of the better teams from the Power 5 conferences later in the tournament. Buffalo won't be a problem. Mm-hmm. Moving on, Miami and
Loyola Chicago.
This is an interesting game because Miami's been hyped all year. They have some... You know,
I've heard that Loyola Chicago, while it is a team that nobody really has heard of, people should keep an eye on.
I'm trying to think of who Miami beat. They had one big win this year. I'm trying to think who it is.
The ACC wasn't against North Carolina or
North Carolina. I want to say you're right, but yeah. Let me
go ahead and look up Miami's schedule, but.
It was North Carolina. It was at North Carolina. Beat Louisville, Middle Tennessee, two non-tournament teams, evidently, at the end of it. But, beat North Carolina at North Carolina by 3, 91-88. Put up 91 points. I mean, at North Carolina, it's impressive. Outside of that, Miami hasn't really impressed me that much. I know Loyola Chicago is going to be a trendy upset pick as an 11 seed. I think I'm going to go Miami here. You cool with that, Justin?
Yep, absolutely.
For the time being. Moving on, Tennessee and Wright State. You know,
Trivia, what is Wright State's mascot?
I'm looking at it right now. Is it a wolf? Some kind of wolf pack? Looking at their logo.
It is the Rowdy Raider.
The Rowdy Raider?
Yeah.
What in the world kind of... I swear, you know, look at their logo, man. It's a wolf or some kind of...
Or no, that's their actual mascot name. Sorry about
okay,
that.
Okay, okay, wait.
No, they're called, the Wright State Raiders.
Okay, wow, interesting. Okay, yeah. Well, I'm looking at their logo, and it looks like a wolf. Hey, look, Tennessee, Jay Williams at Tennessee playing Arizona in the Elite Eight in the South region. Obviously, Tennessee earning some big hype coming out of SEC, you know, they faced a lot of good teams this year. Mm-hmm. You know, SEC is one of those higher bid leagues, one of the more impressive leagues in the country all year from top to bottom. BPI 15, you know, they don't really score in bunches or give up a lot of points. They're kind of middle of the pack in everything they do, but it's hard to pick against Tennessee just because they're coming out of the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we can go. I feel bad. We're going chalk here. We got to pick some kind of upset.
Upset.
But we got to go Tennessee here, right?
There's other parts of the bracket, other regions that
absolutely
have upsets. So
there's a lot of good teams in the South region too. Keep in mind, I mean, if it is all chalk, it's a very, I mean, it's a from top to bottom, it's pretty tough.
I would say it's one of the tougher brackets,
one of the tougher regions, right? So that just means the good teams are really good, and then there might not be a lot of upsets.
Here's our first upset,
right?
Number 10, Texas, beating number 7, Nevada.
I like it.
Yeah, because they have Mo Bamba, who is... Can you believe that people thought that he was actually a little bit better than DeAndre Ayton coming out of high school? I mean, people really thought that. I mean, there was a lot of...
Right, Arizona,
these guys are really pretty level.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona did recruit him, but DeAndre Ayton was always the top option
for him. Right, right, right.
Rightfully so.
Awesome.
But yeah, I like Texas beating Nevada. Let's go ahead and move down to Cincinnati against Georgia State. Cincinnati, they're the number 2 seed. Too much Cincy.
Look, I like Cincinnati a lot. I think they're going to be a big pick as we continue to work through this bracket. They could go.
Oh yeah,
go pretty far. But we'll go back up to the top here to Virginia and Creighton. Look,
that defense.
Look, Virginia's defense
money.
You know they're the best in the country.
Best in the country.
Opponents' points per game, they hold them to 53 points. That is ridiculous.
Shikes.
You know, also one of Virginia's better offenses in a long time, scoring 67 points per game. Look, Creighton gives up a lot of points. For as hot as Creighton may be, or, you know, as underseeded as they may be, there's no way that the number one overall seed in the tournament's losing in the second round this time. I feel pretty safe in advancing them to the Sweet 16.
Now
the matchup of the
tournament. I totally agree with you. Absolutely.
Okay. With Virginia.
And then the next game we have here is the Arizona Wildcats taking on the other Wildcats in Kentucky, which is where we kind of say that the committee really put Arizona in a tough spot right here, because Kentucky, they won the SEC championship in March. They have been one of the hottest teams in college basketball. We continue to talk about them and everything that they're clicking. I said this to you before the pod.
Mm-hmm.
Calipari has two Kentucky teams every single year. A, the team that just beats everybody and clobbers everybody. Or the other one is a team that they had a rough start because they have a bunch of freshmen, a bunch of new players. They don't really know how to mesh well together. And then they figure it out late January and February and just completely take off. Kentucky, again, I don't know how much validation the SEC tournament has to their, I guess, streak and a little bit of an upstart that they have going on, but they're playing good basketball right now. But, again, DeAndre Ayton, they don't have an answer for that. You know, you look at Kentucky's roster, and I said Kevin Knox, he's one of the best freshmen in the country. They have guys that can slow down him. They have Raleigh Alkins and Alonzo Trier. Kentucky doesn't have anybody that can guard DeAndre Ayton. That's why I got the Cats winning. Arizona Wildcats, of course.
You know, it's going to be a battle on the boards. I don't think, and again, I'll agree with you on this. I'm going to go with Arizona in this. For now, again, this could change between now and Tuesday. For now, I will go with the Arizona Wildcats.
Whether you're looking,
I think it's going to come down to a battle of the glass, as it will for the Wildcats a lot in this tournament.
as we saw it almost bury them a couple times in the Pac-12 tournament. Look, if DeAndre Ayton's on his game like he was in Las Vegas, there aren't a lot of teams in the country that can beat that, can hang with them. And I don't think Kentucky has the manpower to do it. I think you're spot on with the two different teams we see from John Calipari. Mm-hmm. Look, I think Kentucky is hitting their stride, but I told you this before we came on. I haven't been overwhelmed. I haven't been. They haven't overwhelmed me. You know, I'm not watching them. Even when they handled Alabama,
you're not having the Ryan Finley. Ooh,
no, I'm not. Look, I'm not sitting in the Sam Levitt's chair right now with Kentucky. I'm swivel just. Action. I'm not feeling the swivel action with them. They're not overwhelming opponents. You know, it's just not the same Kentucky team I've seen in the past. At least not enough to make me comfortable picking them over Arizona right now. Mm-hmm. Moving on, Miami, Tennessee. Justin, who you got in this one?
I got Tennessee.
Absolutely. We'll move on from that. Again, we're going to try to wrap this up somewhat quickly. Mm-hmm. We'll go into detail on all this in our full podcast on Tuesday, where we break down all these matchups. Mm-hmm. Texas-Cincinnati, look, I referenced the Cincinnati team earlier. Coming off of the win in the Big East and
the American Athletic Conference, the AAC,
the new Big East.
Yeah,
and look, they're one of the hottest teams in the country. I think their game against Wichita State, last game of the regular season, that's when they really opened my eyes. I hadn't seen them play a lot this year, but they are a good team. They're physical. They pound the ball inside, and they're hot shooting. They have the hot hand, and they'll ride it. You know, it's tough to slow this team down, and I see them making a run. Texas won't be the team to beat them. That's if Texas even gets to the second round. Mm-hmm. By seeing them out in the first round.
Or Tennessee.
Right. We're talking about Texas against Cincinnati. So here, before we go back up to Virginia and Arizona, let's do Tennessee-Cincinnati really quick. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting matchup to me. They're almost identical in RPI, both 3-3 against top 25 teams this year. God, that's almost identical across the board as far as points per game, opponents' points per game. They're both hot right now.
I like Cincy.
I like Cincy.
I really do.
I think they're one of the hottest teams in the country. I don't think they... I mean, obviously, the 2-seed, you can't put them as a 1-seed. I think the 2's the highest they could get. I don't think they're getting enough hype right now as AAC winners and... I think
those quiet two seeds, man. They always find a way to make a little bit of noise in the tournament.
Look, Jay Williams had Tennessee going on, and I got to go watch that full segment to kind of pick his mind a little bit more or get inside his mind, rather. But Tennessee is a good team. Coming from the SEC, I think that means a lot in the teams they've played this year. But Cincinnati is just impressive. Not that the AAC is anything to brag about, but they're good enough to where, you know, Cincinnati's played enough teams this year to make me say, you know, they have the experience and they're ready to go come March. So Cincinnati through to the Elite Eight. Virginia, Arizona, what do you got, Justin?
Oh, man. You got a coin I can flip? Because...
Man, this is going to be... If Kentucky, Arizona is one of the best games of the tournament, this is, 1A and 1B.
Man, I'm in a really tough spot right now because... Virginia's defense, Arizona struggles against teams that play phenomenal defense. And what does Virginia do best? What is their style of defense? Zone. They play. They mix and match their defense a little bit. But they also press every now and then, mm-hmm. too. Tony Bennett is like a defensive mastermind.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he is so great for the game of college basketball. Mm-hmm. Ah, man. Do they have an answer for DeAndre Ayton? That I don't know. But they do have answers for Lonzo Trier and Raleigh Elkins. So you can't have DeAndre Ayton go 32-18 like he did in the Pac-12 championship. Mm-hmm. And they could still lose because guys like Trier and Elkins and maybe Dusan Ristic has an off game.
Mm-hmm.
If most of your starters are having off games and DeAndre Ayton's carrying the team, this is where... teams fall apart in March.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you might have the star power, but if only one of your stars is going to work, that team basketball that Virginia plays, they are going to dominate you.
This is where... I'm
on the fence with this one, man.
We've talked about Arizona's schedule all year and how, you know, they played a fairly competitive non-conference schedule, but we haven't seen them against... Power Five. I mean, Power Five powerhouses.
What was their Power Five powerhouse? Texas A&M.
Texas A&M, exactly.
And, yeah.
And they're seventh seed in the NCAA tournament. So, look, it's hard for me to pick against a team that has beat North Carolina twice, including once for an ACC championship. They've won at Duke. They've won at Syracuse, who's a tournament team. They've won at Louisville, at Miami, who we just talked a little bit about. They've beat Clemson, who is a five seed, twice. They've beat Rhode Island, who is in the tournament and was ranked number 25 going into tomorrow's rankings that'll come out. Look, they got one. And then you look at their losses. I mean, you look at Virginia's losses. They got West Virginia and Virginia Tech. I mean,
jeez.
I mean, if Virginia Tech's your worst loss, fine. But, I mean, look, Virginia's tough. Do they have someone that can go head-to-head with DeAndre Ayton?
That's always going to be the question.
I go back to rebounds. I mean, Isaiah Wilkins is, you know, that senior. 6'7", 227, you know, doesn't match up size-wise with DeAndre Ayton, but he is one of the most physical guys you'll find on a basketball court. And for how physical Virginia plays and they just grind you down on defense. Look, if this was a Sean Miller coach team of with Nick Johnson or with Stanley Johnson or with Mark Lyons or T.J. McConnell that, you know, we're used to them just grinding teams down, Rondae Hollis Jefferson just making tiring teams out. That's what this Virginia team does. That's why I'm going to have them beat Arizona in the Sweet 16.
That is a good call. I like that.
Okay. Look, they're the Arizona defense of years past, only I think a little bit better. And if they go in and they grind down Arizona, they grind, sure, you can get the ball to DeAndre Ayton, but you look at guys like Raleigh Hawkins, Alonzo Trier, who just struggled through the Pac-12 tournament, you know, playing some of their worst basketball of the season, if we look at number-wise. DeAndre Ayton carried this team through the Pac-12 tournament. He's going to have to carry them through March Madness, which he can. He's very capable of doing it, and if they win this game, it'll be because of DeAndre Ayton single-handedly. But I don't know if they can do it against Virginia.
Dom, you got so many Arizona fans right now.
I know. Like I said, I might change from now to Tuesday, but
they got the Arthur mood hand.
Look, if you want to come at me for picking the number one overall seed in the country, the number one overall defense in the country, look, it's to get to the Elite Eight. Virginia's that good. I'll have Virginia in the Elite Eight. Virginia, Cincinnati, Justin. Who do you like?
Don't blame Dom. Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Exactly.
Because that's the way the bracket is set up. You're asking me for Virginia and Arizona, who's going to win?
No. Virginia, Cincinnati.
Well, Virginia, Cincinnati. Virginia.
You like Virginia?
Yeah. They're a heavy favorite to win the national championship. Usually, Virginia, when they have hype like this, they always find a way to fall apart in the tournament. I don't understand why. They're usually like a 2 or 3 seed. And they're like, man, look out for Virginia. How many times have we heard this? And
they completely fall apart. Look, I know defensemen's championships, this is different. But it's got to come with a heavy dose of offense. Because Virginia has this year. Their offense is better than in years past, in my opinion. Excuse me. And I think, you know, it's a better team than we've seen in years past. We'll discuss on Tuesday whether or not they'll get through the Final Four, whether or not they're ready to take that next step. But look, this Virginia team is as good as it gets. You know, whether you bank on defense to win the championship or not, we'll get there on Tuesday. Cincinnati, you know, for as much as I've hyped them up, I think they're very good. You know, between Jacob Evans, Gary Clark, and Kyle Washington, who can all score in bunches, Jaron Cumberland too, all scored in double figures. That's impressive. They grab glass. They go hard at the glass. Gary Clark, averaging almost a double-double this year. I mean, he's as impressive as anyone. You know, you get him the ball inside, he can be as effective as DeAndre Ayton at times. And, you know, we've seen that from time to time this year. Cincinnati is good, and don't be surprised if they're the team to knock off Virginia.
Absolutely.
If Arizona doesn't.
So, Dom and I are kind of both agreeing that, at this point, I think Arizona will go to the Final Four. I just think that, I mean, they've been through the ringer.
Look, this isn't my official bracket.
Don't be going in Dom's mentions.
I'll have your official bracket on Tuesday. I'm not signing off on this. If I'm forced to pick someone right now, it's hard to pick against the number one overall defense. they just grind you down, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, for all those years we've praised Sean Miller and Sean Miller coach defenses, that's this Virginia team. That's how good they are, only better. They've mm-hmm. done it all year. They've done it year on year on year on year. Mm-hmm. This might be the year they break through. If not, pass the Final Four. Again, we'll get there. Justin, take us out.
Absolutely. Let's go ahead and finish this bad boy. Don't forget to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at the Wildcaster. And hey, we're on Instagram. Get it at us on Instagram. We have videos, photos, everything you need at the Wildcaster. Give us a follow. And don't forget to download that app. We have everything that you need for the Arizona Wildcats March Madness coverage. And if you want to listen to this podcast, you can either listen to it on Tucson.com, where we are going to post it on Twitter, post it on Facebook, or subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. I mean, Apple sends out push alerts whenever we have a podcast that's up. Don't forget to subscribe to us. For Dom, I'm Justin. We'll see you next time. It is March Madness, baby. March Madness.